Blog Talk Radio. I'm Cindy Samson Braff, author of Grant Me a Higher Love and Why Good People Can't Leave Bad Relationships. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host and producer, Nicole. Nicole's a beautiful young woman, a writer, an entrepreneur, and a lesbian, not necessarily in that order, and she's here to share her love stories and war stories with us. She's the voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex. Since Nicole knows women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Well, hello, Nicole. So
howdy.
I heard you were having a hard time getting the couch and, you know, like 2 pounds of bologna in a 1 pound sack. The couch
is
too
big
for the room, huh?
Oh, my God, my God, it was terrible. No, what happened is my mother, the room that used to be my grandmother's room used to be the den.
Okay, can we just, like, preface that your grandmother was the grandmother from hell? So, okay, the room that used to be the grandmother from hell's room. Okay, see, so you know the couch would have to be from hell when you're doing something, okay?
Well, the whole thing was that you know, it used to be the den. And then when my grandmother moved in, my mother moved the couches upstairs and made a den upstairs and allowed my grandmother to have the first floor room, obviously, because she couldn't go up and down the stairs. And now that my grandmother has passed, my mother wanted to kind of reclaim the den downstairs. So she came up with this brilliant idea that she was going to take the couch that was in the sitting room and put it in my grandmother's old room, and then she was going to buy a brand new couch that was a little bit larger for the sitting room. So it seemed like it was a fabulous idea. My cousin looked at it and said, yeah, it'll fit. And then guess what? It did not fit. And the hallway was just not wide enough to make that kind of turn. We didn't have enough room because of the adjacent doorway. It wasn't wide enough to allow for that. So at a certain point, I probably should have just said no. This is not going to happen. But seeing how upset my mother was that she had to, you know, kind of like lose this couch, and she was so excited about making it her woman cave, I kind of went a little bit spastic, and I kind of went on a little bit of a vendetta. And I got my brother involved, and we started around 9 p.m., and by 2 a.m., we got the couch in the room after ripping the back out, after ripping several pieces of wood out, cutting the upholstery to get those pieces of wood out, chopping up the door jams, scratching the walls, removing the legs, and finally getting it into the room, you know, in pieces. Everybody was telling me and counting me out, saying, you know what, you'll never get that back together. We're going to have to get the Sawzall to get this couch out. And lo and behold, I came over here the other day, and I had made a nice, nice, heavy trip to Home Depot, and I put the couch back together. It was very much like Tetris. And when I get off of the show tonight, I will be upholstering this thing again so that nobody could tell.
Now, isn't that funny, though, that your grandmother would make sure that replacing her room, not leaving it like a shrine, would be the nightmare of your life.
Oh, no. Well, that shrine was gone. Like, literally, I had the day that my grandmother died, not to be cold and callous, like, literally, it was the same day. By that evening, I had all of her stuff packed up. Like,
wow.
There was no way that I was going to leave that room for my mother to sit here and you know, ponder over, because my mother, you know, took it a little bit harder than I do. And I was telling you before the show, I had a little bit of a dream the other day, and it's kind of like, you know, like I'm cool now, you know. You know, it was like very, very like eye-opening or whatever. I guess it was like the last of my grandmother just getting out of my system and stuff like that. But it was actually a very, very positive dream, and it was a very, very good dream. And we both know that she's not going to come back here anytime soon. So, you know, it's all good. And that's it, you know. So it's like
I just love
I came
your adventure.
To peace, and now I just want – what's that?
I love that adventure, the couch adventure, you know, the great couch caper.
Oh my God, yeah. So I'm just happy that, you know, my mom is like slowly but surely taking her life back. And that's why it was like so, like, it meant so much to me to get just everything back in order for her so she could have her space again, you know. She gave up, you know, her den that was like her little safe haven for my grandmother, and then she moved into a smaller bedroom, and then my cousin needed a place to stay. So what do you do? What does my mother do? She lets him come and move in. So, like, my mother has been displaced out of every room that wasn't her bedroom, you know, for her own. So I'm happy that she's taken her life back, and I'm happy that I was able to get her couch back together. She was very, very happy with me.
Good. And of course, we get a kick out of your little story. You know, life is like that. Everything is much harder than it looks, you know?
I'll show you before and after. It was good.
Our message that we should measure things before we try to stick them in a place? I mean, is that a good thing that we should do?
I think so. I think that's the right thing to do is to, before you embark on any adventure, make sure you weigh out all your options and make sure you have 100% accurate information.
And we'll pass that on for other people, what we learned, isn't that?
Yes, please,
We teach them all kinds of stuff here, don't we?
But it's a good thing that I'm handy. Otherwise, the message might be, don't mess with your mom's furniture.
Wow, that's for sure. Now, I wanted to share with you that Why Good People Can't Leave Bad Relationships page on Facebook has 18,000 likes. All right.
Oh, my God, that's so awesome.
And I got something from Facebook saying that out of a scale of 10, our page is 10 in relevancy and 1 in which we get, like, more likes than, like, astronomically possible. I'm just telling you that... the page has only been on since November, so that's a lot of likes. So
that's,
you know,
amazing.
They just said it's a very relevant page. So I thought it was really nice to get something saying that your page is one of the most relevant pages. You know,
yeah,
which I thought was great. You know what I mean?
I think that's awesome.
So I'm just, it's a little frightening that it tells you that there's that many people with rotten relationships. I mean, is that what we're?
But you know what? You got to look at it this way, though. It's not necessarily about that many people having that many screwed up relationships. It's that many people that want help with their screwed up relationships.
Exactly.
So,
and I'm really happy.
What's encouraging about it. It's not the number of people that are just in messed up situations. It's the amount of people that are recognizing that their situations are messed up and want something better.
Exactly. And I get these really nice emails from people just saying, I can't believe this page is on there. And thank you for, you know, all the help that you give. And very sweet. So I'm really glad to see the page is doing really, you know, really well. And it just makes me happy. You know, so
you
that's what I thought I'd share.
You work hard.
And now we do have a lot of listeners tonight on this
summery
day. And, you know, 510 is usually a California. So you might want to put that one through first. And I don't have anybody that we have to put on today personally, but we should remind people, if they want to come on, what do they have to do, Nicole, so that we know they want to
speak? They have to press the number 1 while they are on hold. And then, as always, we try to get to as many people as possible. But while Cindy takes the first caller, which I do not screen, by the way, I'm going to step into the chat room. And if you want me to pick you up and screen you, please press the number 1 so that I get alerted and I know that you are one of those people that are not just listening and actually want to speak. So we are going to go to the first person that, you know, that's been waiting the longest. That's the 510 area code, just so that you know that we're speaking to you. The last 4 digits of your number are 4381. And let's see who's waiting for us. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello. Hi there. It's Camille in California.
Hi, Camille in California. So you had this guy, the last call, right? You wanted, like, refresh our listeners because your life is always interesting. So
yeah.
I'm sure they need a little background.
Yes, so there was someone who I met at my nearest Starbucks who I was very much interested in. And, you know, he's a cool guy. I realized since making the call that his time is going to his project, and he's not available. And I'm okay with that. Meanwhile, who has become available is my neighbor who I called about a couple of years ago. And now, he'd like to be a family, and I'm just wondering what the cards have to say about all of this.
Okay, what I love is that, if you remember when you called in a few weeks ago, we were kind of giving you some heads up that this man in Starbucks may have some commitment issues, and you might not,
right.
This might not go where you want it to go, and I think you must have taken our advice, and let's see what's here sooner than later. I'm not going to stick around and wait, you know, 2 years to see if he's going to come around, so I'm glad that you
yes.
took that advice and kind of, okay, if this isn't going to go anywhere, let me know it now. And
yes.
Did it feel good to sort of do that, by the way?
Yes.
To kind
does.
Of take some
yes,
control over the situation instead of waiting till a man says, you can come this close, Camille, but not that close. So
yes.
And I'm not surprised that then the universe would sort of bring you in alignment again with your neighbor who was a little reluctant in the past to get involved. And
yes.
I think it's wonderful that this is manifested. He thinks you're a terrific mother, by the way, and our listeners should know you're a single mom. Does he ever mention that? He likes the way that you're a mom? And
Yes,
okay.
He made that abundantly clear.
Okay, because that's, you know, that's the number one thing that his spirit guide said that has impressed him with you, how, you know, he's your neighbor. He consistently sees what kind of a mother you are. And, you know,
right.
observing over the fence kind of thing, he's come to think, well, she's a really good lady. So that's nice that he likes you as a person and admires you. So that's very good. He actually looks like, you know, he's been a little bit lonely in the last year or so, kind of knowing that he's been living his life in a way that he hasn't let somebody in. I'm not sure what wake-up call he just had, but there's some sort of wake-up call here that made him realize life is passing him by. So you caught him at a moment when, you know, he's kind of ready for something more. He's been hurt in the past. Did you ever talk to him about that?
Yes.
Okay, so he took a little while to mourn the end of a relationship. And it looks like, you know, this is one you can certainly, you know, start moving forward. He has a little bit of anxiety about getting involved only because he doesn't want to get hurt and he doesn't want to hurt you and he certainly wouldn't want to hurt your daughter. So, I mean, he's a nice guy. You know that much about him?
Oh, yes.
I mean, this is a nice man. And if anything, he's just scared. You know, when you open a door to someone, you know, he doesn't want to suddenly run away afraid. But,
yeah.
So, you know what I'm saying. So he's kind of, for him to take this, like, huge leap to the neighbor's house is, you know, it's like he went to Mars. This was, like, a really big step for him, okay?
Yeah.
For him to kind of come over to you. He has thought about it a lot in the last few months. And he almost wanted to do it, like, 3 months ago, and then he stopped himself. And then he, you know, he came forward. He got his spirit guides popping in his ears. This is a good time to go over across the street, go over to your neighbor. This is good. Don't wait too long. She's a good catch. We may bring her someone else pretty soon if you don't come around. So, you know him also as a neighbor, which is good. You know he's not a psychopath. You don't see the police there every day. You know, you've observed him for a few years too.
Exactly.
So that's very good. So tell me, when he came over or when you saw each other, you know, how did this all, you know, conspire? How did this happen?
It happened, a street festival over the weekend on Sunday. I was, me, looking for my girlfriend. Oh. You there?
I don't know why the music just did it, but we got off. Okay, go ahead.
And that's funny because that's exactly what happened. The street fair, the music, I went to see some old friends playing a band, and he was right there with his family and friends having a good time. And I'm looking for my girlfriends, can't find them. Suddenly, he's right there. And admittedly, he's having fun in the sun, had a couple beers. I had two large coffees only. And next thing I know, he's right there in my face, and I'm saying hello, thinking we're going to hug, but it's like, I don't know what happened. It's like, I literally blanked out for a few seconds, and when I came to, after only having coffee, mind you, we had kissed, and I was tearing up out of one eye.
Wow.
And that's how it came together, and we just had so much fun, and, you know, dancing to the music, having some beers, just having fun, kept hugging, kept kissing, and then he just kept revealing feelings. So I said, okay. And I sense the attraction. I sense the fear. I really sense
the fear.
Right,
there's a lot of fear
yeah.
here.
And, oh, yeah,
okay, so
sure.
that was Sunday. So that's a few days ago. Since then, has he said anything, called, come over?
No, I have noticed. I see from my kitchen window, his driveway, it's that close. I look over and I know I watch the cars. I know what's going on. Like his car appeared in mine and now it's gone back to his. So I think I know he has dumped someone.
Okay, good. Good.
Yeah,
it looks like that relationship really did go sour. So again, now that he's taken that step a little bit forward, I mean, sometimes
yeah.
alcohol does some talking, might have made him a little more braver than he would be. But,
oh, yeah.
you know, you have a right.
Yeah.
The fact that he kissed you and he opened up this to in the next day or two say, hey, you know, we had this great connection and, like, what's the story? Just like
That's
he did
right.
with Mr. Starbucks, okay? Just like he did
exactly.
with Mr. Starbucks, okay?
Exactly.
The message is, you can't keep giving us mixed messages. You can't come close and run away because that's not really acceptable with my world. You've come close and, you know, what was that about? And, you know, give it not too much time, a few more days, but
right.
you might as well find out, is he going to be one of these guys that's going to bring you close and push you away? We don't want that because that makes us crazy. That's mixed messages, and that's the men being the bosses. Again, you could come this close, not that close. So, of course,
yeah.
it was nice. I mean, maybe he got braver because of the alcohol. Now he's
yeah.
scared. And, you know, it makes a little sense. It's like if you work with someone or they're your neighbor, if you're going to open this up, you're
yeah.
going to hope it works because then you're going to have an enemy right near you. So I can
yeah.
understand why he might be a little nervous, you know, to,
yeah.
uh-oh. But you might want to say to him, look, you know, we can try. Let's see what's here. You know, we're neighbors. We've been neighbors. You know, if it didn't work out, we would still be neighbors. I'm
right.
not a lunatic. I'm not crazy. You know, not all relationships last. But, you know,
yeah.
we can go forward with it. You know, maybe voice some things that might be his fears. Also, he can't
okay.
really start something too soon, or maybe he's just afraid that this woman may show up. Wouldn't that be a nightmare? You know,
yeah,
imagine
really.
He lives close to you. It's not like if he starts dating you and this woman shows up and does something crazy or makes it look like something's going on that's not, he could be scared of that too. So you might want to just say, like, so what's been going on in your life? Was there someone else? Did you just break up? Maybe just talk about some of the things that he may be afraid that could happen so that, you know, you can fully aware, say, you know, if he just had a relationship that ended, I know things can get hairy or messy. So talk, but you don't want to go now like where you're going to be uncomfortable if nothing's ever said again
yeah.
or you don't communicate. That's going to be like the pink elephant in the room that nobody talks
oh, yeah.
about. And I have
yeah.
a theory. You got to talk about the pink elephant, okay? You know, you don't walk around it. You don't dance around it. You talk. Because even if nothing else were to come further from here, you don't want to feel uncomfortable every time you go out of your house. So
exactly.
So you might
exactly.
want to just say that was really great. I, you know, love that night. It was like such a great night in my life. I love it. And if that's all we're ever going to have, I had a great night. But
right.
I would like
right.
to know, you know, what's going on. You know what I'm saying? You don't have to say it like,
oh, I know.
Now you ran away from me, you're horrible. Just tell him you had the wonderful night. And if that's all we're meant to have, then thank you for that one wonderful night.
That's
but
a good one. Okay.
Do you understand that?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And just because we have to start being grown-ups. You saw what happened with the Starbucks. Maybe it didn't go the way you wanted to, but I'm sure you feel like, okay, now I'm moving on. I'm not
oh,
wasting
yeah, for
time
sure.
here.
For
so
sure.
it's the
yeah.
same thing. And I think something's happened in America where, like, men and women are, and women and women and men, whoever they are together, are not communicating. They seem to, like,
wow.
something happens and everybody pretends it didn't happen. Like, what's with
right.
that? So,
right.
you know, he is definitely drawn to you. He definitely felt
yeah.
that same wild chemistry in that blackout moment, like, when, he, you know, you guys hugged and I mean, he felt
yeah.
the same thing. So again, maybe you just need to say, look, I know we're neighbors and, you know, if it didn't work, maybe it would be awkward. But why does it have to be awkward? We're grown-ups, you know, give it a try. Do you know what I mean? Like, you know,
yeah.
Grown-ups, some work, some don't work out. But, you know, the point is...
he turned 39 in May, and I'm turning 39 in just a couple weeks, so...
And I can understand his wake-up call. He's 39.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's the point where people start saying, am I going to be sitting at a bar when I'm 50, picking up 20-year-olds who are going to say, I look like, you know, you look like my father or maybe my grandfather? I mean,
yeah.
It's he got that little, he wants more from life than he's getting. That's really what happened. And he likes that you look stable and you look like a person, you know, who she is, who she says she is. His
right.
last relationship, by the way, she was very volatile and like, you know, crazy volatile. So
oh,
I think
gosh.
He's a little nervous about her. Imagine her coming
wow.
and banging on your door like, you don't know what he did. He's like, you know, he's a little nervous.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you might want to say, look, if you have an ex, if something's going on, you know, I get it, you know. So, like, you know, let's
yeah.
just see what's here. He is very drawn to you, but I would not let more than a week go by where you don't say, hey, what was
okay.
that? You know what I'm saying? Because otherwise, imagine a month goes by and commitment phobics.
Oh,
and
I
he's,
can't. I
can
can't.
Do this. You can't. You know what I mean? And nor should
no.
you. I want you to love yourself like you would love your daughter. You tell her. Go march over
yeah.
to the neighbor boy and ask him what the hell was that. Do you know what I mean? Like, so it's just... saying it, and if you say it nicely, you can say, look, maybe I had a little too much to drink. Maybe we shouldn't, you know, we shouldn't have done that. Make, okay, fine. It was a wonderful night,
yeah, yeah.
and I get it.
Yeah.
Be really nice about it because, you know,
okay.
a kiss is not a promise, okay?
That's true.
Okay, it was a kiss. And then say, no, kiss. It was a wonderful kiss. And if you handle it a little calmly, back off. Maybe a week or a month from now, he'll knock on the door and say, it wasn't a mistake when I kissed you. I want to do it again. And then you
yeah,
can,
right.
do you understand? He may have gotten
right.
scared. So, again, he's 39.
It.
He's not 13. He's a man. A man should know what he wants. You see a good catch like you, he should say, holy crap, she wants me. I'm here. So be a little bit, you know, funny about it, though. Do you know what I mean? Because he is your neighbor.
Gotcha.
You don't want to open like you kissed me and you're screaming at him. Do you know what I mean?
No. And that's what happened before. I mean, this has been going since 2009, and then I know in 2010 I did scream at him, and then we didn't speak from September of 2010, and then I had a baby with someone else in December of 2011, and that just, you know. So because finally having my own child and reconnecting with him that way, that's, you know, but we didn't talk for quite some time. We didn't talk for almost 2 years. And so now,
right.
like, I know we need to do something because it's not fair to either of us.
That's
yeah.
what I'm trying to tell you. So
yeah.
I want women to learn listening to this show is it's okay to talk about the pink elephant in the room. It's okay
yeah.
to talk about what happened. Bring your sense of humor because, you know, this isn't like you've been dating him. This is, you know, you had
yeah.
a, you know, fun, you kissed, it was great. And it could be fine if that's all it's going to be. Okay, but
yeah.
you have a right to know that. Don't say you read
yeah.
me on. You do. You know what I'm saying? Don't
yeah,
dramatize the situation. Okay.
That's right.
I mean,
that's
so
right.
if you handle it that way, he'll know that you're a rational woman, a nice woman, and maybe he will open up to you a little bit about what he's afraid of. Talking
okay.
is good. Communicating is good. And of course, you say you're a lovely neighbor, and I wouldn't want to ever do anything to make it so that we're not, you know, we're not friendly neighbors. So.
Right.
You know, try,
okay.
You know, your best. And then call us in because, you know, this is a great continuing saga. I just love this. And, and again, I think you sound so good after you did it with the Starbucks guy. You know, you just got it
oh,
out
yeah.
there. Because we can't be waiting. Like these guys, and I had, you know, a client I was reading last night at a psychic party, and you know, she met this guy in the gym, and you know, he sort of, like, got a little close to her, and then, like, he's got all these excuses why they can't really go out and he's got to do this and he's got to do that. And I go, look, these are all excuses. When
wow.
a man wants a woman and he's not afraid, he sees her tomorrow. He doesn't see her 10
That's
years
true.
From now. So if a man is doing that, look at it that he doesn't want what you're selling. look at it that
That's
you're wasting
true.
Your time. That, you know,
yeah.
when somebody wants something, they go after it. And
that's
what
true.
You want. You want a man, if he wants you, he's going after it. He's pursuing it. He's not waiting weeks and months because now he's scared. So, again, you know, let us know because you're going to be with a soulmate for your daughter's sake. They would like it to be sooner than later. So they're bringing some in alignment with you. If they
Good.
Screw up, it's not your fault. The
that's
universe
right.
will give you. But if you waste 5 years, because that's how long sometimes commitment phobics, you know, they go back and forth for 5 years, you've wasted 5 years of your life.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
go forward, and we'll wait to hear what you have to say about your neighbor.
Great. Great. You
know?
Thank you.
Good luck to you.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, Nicole, I saw you got blown off the air, and I'm glad you're back. I didn't know what that was about. Nobody else knew it but me, but I'll share the technical difficulty here. You know?
You gotta love it. Gotta love it, don't you?
You gotta love it. And did you hear Camille? And she did talk to Mr. Starbucks, like we told her. And I'm like so
yeah.
proud of that. And can you see how it's like these? Everybody keeps coming close, and they pull away. I mean, these mixed messages can make you crazy, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely.
I mean,
absolutely.
Really.
But she's not
really.
She's going to confront him. She listened to us to talk to Mr. Starbucks, so you know, she'll confront him, and it'll be cool. We'll
it's
see.
Very empowering, by the way, when you do this in life. In business, if you're at your job and something seems like shady or not going right, or somebody's deceptive or hiding something, ask. Ask them nicely. You know?
Hey, you
Let's
never know what you're
going to
get until you ask.
Right. And it's better to kind of know sooner than later in life. I know denial is a wonderful thing. People practice a lot of denial. You know, like they deny something's wrong or something's not right. And, you know, I hear women oftentimes saying, well, you know, he said he couldn't be with me because he has to take care of his son and his son comes first. And this woman that was telling me the story yesterday, he lives in New York and the son lives in Toronto. The son doesn't come first. If your son comes first, you'd be living in Toronto. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Pay attention to what people say that might sound good but not necessarily be the whole truth. So that's a little message there tonight. Now, Jennifer, where is she? She's in Canada?
She is in Canada, and she just wants a regular generalized reading, Cindy. She's been trying to do her own cards, and she says that she used to be able to do her own cards, but as of late, the cards have been mocking her, she said. So she wants you to figure out what's up and give her
okay.
a very nice reading there, okay?
Okay, that's so funny that she said that the cards are not
Oh, they're mocking
cooperating
her. I know.
Her.
They mock me all the time. I told her that.
I know.
Hello, Jennifer. You are on the air.
Hello, Cindy. Thank you, Nicole.
Of course.
You're
I
welcome.
Never do my own reading, by the way. Okay, just so you know. Because
okay,
the cards can have a lot of different meanings, and of course we're going to pick the best meaning of it that we want, maybe for the ourselves. I'll give you an example. One time, my husband is very responsible in calling me one day he was on the boat and it was late and he hadn't contacted me, and I started to panic like maybe something happened on the boat. So I you know, I heard my spirit guide saying he's fine, but I chose to do the cards, and it looked like, oh, my God, he died. The cards looked horrible, and I was just about to freak, and then he calls and said, oh, my God, my cell phone died. You know, and the cards were making fun of me. My spirit guides were already told he was fine. They let me have this horrible vision for about 10 seconds, and then he called. But sometimes, you know, our own card reading may not be accurate. So are you feeling that your cards are not being accurate when you're getting them?
Well, I feel like they're mocking me. Like, you know, I'll say, okay, who's the one for me? And the devil card comes up. So,
that's what I'm talking about. That's
yeah.
what they do to me. They give me the devil and the tower card and the ugliest, scariest cards to tell me, you know, we're not telling you this. Okay, you know, it's not your answer. So it happens to me too, by the way. So what I'm seeing here is that you're supposed to be with a soulmate in the very near future. There looks like one man who may not, you know, be playing totally fair with you. Do you have more than one guy right now in your life?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not saying the one who's not playing fair with you. I'm not saying he doesn't care about you. I'm just saying he may be similar to, you know, some of the men we've been talking about who have some commitment issues and may not want to move this forward. So are you, you know, And again, what the cards are telling you by giving the devil card, why are you asking us? Why aren't you asking the guys? You know, do you understand that? Don't ask spirit guides to answer a question that a person on the earth plane should be answering. And I'll tell my clients that all the time sometimes. I'm like, you're asking me questions that you should be asking the person, not me. So think about it. Have you not wanted to ask these men or one of the men what they're feeling and thinking? Where is this going?
Yes and no. What I'm finding is when I do ask the question, it gets turned around on me. And not just one of them, all of them. It becomes like, why are you asking me that? They don't answer it.
Okay, that's because it's the 21st century monster man who's now the total master over women, who feel like there's 400 women waiting for them or they don't have to answer and we can call the shots. And I don't feel like answering that, so I don't have to. And it's because women have allowed men to do this. And my feelings are, if I ask a man a direct question and he evades the answer, twists it, turns it, that's my answer. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
My answer is that you're either not mature enough, you're not ready enough, you're deceptive, you're a narcissist, you're not answering my question, a straight question deserves a straight answer. Then I'm taking that as a no, you're not interested, or no, you're not coming forward, or I'm not the one. So kind of start looking. They're giving you an answer. You just don't like what they're saying. Maybe it's not the answer you want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, at this point, you know, how long do you want to waste your time with men who can't make up their minds? And, you know, you're wondering, like, God, this is a lot of guys. There's a lot of... It's an astronomical problem right now. So it's not just you. But until a woman asks a man a direct question that she cares about, and until he gives her the proper answer, or then God's going to keep bringing you these men because you're not demanding more. And the first time you say to a man, well, I didn't like that answer. That's not the answer I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
So that is not what I wanted to hear. Thank you. You answered the question. And that's it. The universe will start to bring you men who aren't like this. Men who are ready to be out, you know, up front with their feelings. Men who are willing to share their feelings with you and be honest with you and not evade questions. You know, narcissists never answer the questions we ask them, by the way. They never do.
And that's good to know.
And maybe you're just, you know, need to know some of the things that, you know, good people tend to answer the questions that are asked of them, almost to the point where they hang themselves a lot of times because we give too much information. We, you know, we're like too honest. But, you know that, you know, the fact that you should not be consulting cards for answers. We should be consulting people. And I can't stress that enough. You know, that's why I was telling Camille earlier, ask him, what is the story? You know, don't ask psychics. You know, the man is there. He's your neighbor. Talk to him. You know, confront him. And it's very liberating to do it, by the way, because what happens is you may not want to know, okay, this is really not going anywhere. You got to be ready to know it's not going anywhere. If you're not ready for it, don't ask the question. If you'd rather have an illusion that for the next 2 or 3 months or 4 months there's still hope, then don't ask. But if you really want to know, I want to move on, if this is not going to go where I want to go, then have the courage to ask them. And what I'm seeing here is you keep gravitating to a very similar type of a man, a commitment phobic. And you might want to examine that you may have some closet commitment phobia of your own. That if you keep chasing after men who can't commit, then maybe that's your reason why you're not in a committed relationship. And you can blame it on them and not maybe your own fears. So women who want committed relationships really start confronting men. And this is not what I want. You know, I want a serious relationship. I'm a good catch here. I've got a lot to offer. So maybe you were afraid. I think you're going to the point where you're not afraid now. And doesn't it feel, you know, maybe that's why you want some answers now. Are you beginning to feel that you want some answers?
Well, I want answers. What happens, though, is I do get rid of some, like when I've, you know, catch them lying or whatever, and they all come back.
Of course, you're a good catch. And you should know that now that the universe is trying to tell you is you're a good catch. They're scared. They run away. They're afraid. But they all come back. So that should show you something, that you are worth a man who wants to commit. And, of course, they come back. But by then, you know, sometimes you're tired of it, or maybe they're coming back, but they're still not going to come back with what you want. What you have to ask a man is, okay, you're back. What's your intention? Is it to stick 2 feet in here and have a real relationship? If not, I don't need a fuck buddy. I don't need a booty call. I don't need a friend. I've got plenty of those. So what's the story? Be a little more point blank. What is your intention in coming back into my life? Do we want to do the same song and dance we did? Because I don't want that. It's not what I'm looking for.
Oh, I like
for.
The way you put that. I like the way you put that.
Do you hear what I'm saying?
Yeah, I hear what you're saying.
And if it's really a soulmate connection, and if a man's a good man and he can't step up to the plate, he will hear what you've said and he will walk away. Not because he doesn't care about you, not because he doesn't love you, not because he doesn't want you, but because he knows he can't do it and he doesn't want to hurt you. Do you understand that? So sometimes he's
yep.
rejecting a higher love, not you.
Mm-hmm.
And good men sometimes just don't want to hurt you, and they know they can't heal enough. So be a little bit more... And I'm not saying be mean about it or be a bitch. Not at all. I'm saying be honest, be open, be funny about it, because most men respect that. They respect the fact that you had the courage to ask them to say what was the truth. I mean, I grew up in an all-boy neighborhood and with three older brothers, okay? So I know how men think. And I learned a lot about, you know, just deal with them. Men are fearful. They have issues. They whatever. They're not some strange species. They're scared half the time. But I learned that men respect you putting the cards on the table. And you're saying it like it is, and you're giving them a choice. It's all or nothing. That's my rules. That's my choice. And
you know
what?
That...
Go ahead, DJ.
I find that they... You know, you'll go on a date once with one, and they'll ask you the most personal of questions. And I never, because, you know, I am an honest person, and I thought, you know, I don't feel comfortable answering these questions. So my response is, that's a sixth date question, you know, not a first date question, not a second date question, you know. If you make it to six dates, then, you know, maybe I'll let you know.
Good. Can
yeah.
you see how now you're learning... They
yeah.
never answer these questions. If you ask them the same question, they would
mm-hmm.
dodge the bullet. Narcissists yep. always overstep boundaries. When someone asks you a question when you first meet them that is clearly overstepping a boundary, that will already tell you that they're narcissists, that it's inappropriate, and that should be a red flag. You know, that they really are prying. They want to know stuff about you, but why don't you turn it around and say, okay, if you answer me, I'll answer you maybe. Doesn't mean you have
yeah.
to answer it.
Well, they'll lie.
They lie. I mean, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
They'll lie. They'll lie. You know, they'll lie. But you're very funny, but I'm very sensitive to people overstepping boundaries. You know,
yeah.
it's not okay. And good people tend to always answer questions because they've been brainwashed to answer questions truthfully. And I like your answer. It's not, you know, it's not appropriate. It's not this, but it should be registered in your book when you go home as a red flag.
Okay,
that,
good.
That
yeah,
they didn't
you're
respect
right.
your boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
And even when women tell me, you know, they met this guy online and he's, you know, talking dirty and sex, I go, you don't talk dirty and sex when you haven't met somebody. That's a pervert. Okay,
mm-hmm.
that's inappropriate. That's overstepping boundaries. So don't think, well, you know, he's telling me I'm sexy. He hasn't even met you. So people should not be talking sex, you know, dirty sex when they haven't met or the first date. That is inappropriate. And I don't understand what's happened to people. Don't you know what's appropriate and what's inappropriate? I mean, it's, and like women are like, oh, well, I thought, you know, he's just a sexy guy. Really? Come on. So, I like, this is demented. I mean, just demented. And, you know, it's okay to tell men, look, this is inappropriate. You know, this is not what I talk on a first date or on a conversation. Just hang up. Why are you being so nice and listening to this nonsense? So it's, you know, people reveal themselves pretty quickly if we pay attention. and, you know, kind people, nice people, they try not to overstep boundaries. They try to, you know, make you comfortable. So realize that you may be drawing a kind of man you don't want to be drawing to you. And the universe may be keep bringing you the narcissistic, judgmental, unfixable men because maybe you still think you could fix people. Did you get that out of your system yet that you can't, that we're not here to fix people?
Yes, I know.
Okay, so, you know, you don't want needy men. You don't want men who, you know, they don't know what they want. I mean, I love when men meet you and, you know, you're great, but I have to go to work, I have to do this. No. That's nonsense. Love comes at the right time, and if I'm not going to be somebody that you can make a space in your day for, forget it. What do I want that for? What do I need that for? I don't. And people have to stop believing people. They're so busy, they can't. Everybody's busy. Everybody's busy. But, you know, when something's important, we make space for it. So know that I'm not seeing any of the guys really that you're talking to being much of anything here.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe you need to eliminate some of them and let this wonderful soulmate who's supposed to be being brought into alignment with you, you know, don't waste time on men that aren't going anywhere, because it keeps you from maybe getting out there and meeting someone else, or, you know, being ready for the man that's supposed to be coming.
All right, and I'll clear the slate at the next full moon.
You know what I'm talking about. It's just,
I know what you're talking about.
And have fun when you do it. Don't be mean. Don't be a bitch. You know, be funny. Mm-hmm. But, you know, men happen to respect women who can be honest and could tell them what they want. Because then they can't, you know, they like deceiving women. Women are all deceptive. Women are always trapped in a trap. They're always trying. When you're not being deceptive, how can they say that you are? They can't. And it has always, always worked for me with men to pretty much tell them, this is who I am and this is what I want. And I've never really had trouble with men committing to me, other than the men who are really true diehard commitment phobics. Then forget it. I mean, that's their problem, not mine. But when it's been a man who really wanted a relationship, you know, when I said my rules, they were pretty much in. So that's what I'm trying to tell women. Don't be afraid to just be a straight shooter. And, of course, if it's on a date and you can already see that he's overstepped boundaries, that's the last date. You know what I'm saying? It's like, mm-mm, not good. And, you know, squirm a little bit. But you do have a soulmate coming, by the way. So that's what you
want.
Any
time frame?
It's pretty soon here. That's why I'm saying if you've got these guys hanging around that you could be wasting a year for, it's very possible this soulmate that's being brought in alignment, you could miss him because you won't be where you need to be if you're
mm-hmm.
where you're not supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, wasting time. I mean, sometimes people just don't want to be alone. They want to go out. They want to do that. But I'm like, it's a waste of time. Learn to be, you know, happy being by yourself or doing something with your friends or something that's good for you, rather than just feel like you need this man just to go out with. And it's not that much fun when you feel like it's all game playing, too. Do you start to feel that way now?
Yeah, especially when there's, like, too many that you're going out with at the same time.
Right. And, again, that's are you meeting these people online? Is that how you're meeting them?
All online, yeah.
Okay, that's what, you know, I posted on my Why Good People page that Irene Merring, one of my wonderful clients, posted, said it reminded her of me. It's about how nobody wants to commit anymore because they don't have to commit because we shop for people like we're shopping for a new iPad. You know, it's like, okay, there's 400 here, there's another one there. It's not really very natural. You know, it's not, love isn't really going shopping, but this is what it kind of feels like. And, you know, it's pretty clear within a short period of time of meeting somebody whether this is someone that has a potential or it isn't. You know, you kind of know right away. You get this feeling, don't you kind of know pretty much?
That's my question. Like, that's because there are people that I'll meet, and I'm attracted right away to them, and that goes nowhere. And then, but I thought, well, maybe I need to get to know these people better before, or develop an attraction. Because, you know, if you don't like them, you don't like them, but sometimes you're sort of indifferent. And they're nice, and they're not the pigs that you generally tend
you're
to go
right,
out
of course.
With. So I think, well, okay, I'll give him another try. But I'm wondering, you know, am I trying to force an attraction?
Right.
Or?
You're trying to. Some of those are, if you went down the ladder of love, not soulmate at the top, but a man to fit a plan.
Mm-hmm.
He's a nice guy. He's the right shape, color. He's really good. I wish I could love him because he's a good guy. You
mm-hmm.
can't make mediocre or a narcissistic rung, which is very much internet shopping. It's like any person's interchangeable another. Those love affairs can't become soulmate. Soulmate is something that you know almost from the beginning because there's a certain recognition factor. And I'm not saying that you haven't met soulmates who haven't been able to commit. It's not like
mm-hmm.
you didn't meet them. You had that heart, soul, mind, body connection, but they're not committing. But you felt that connection almost from the beginning. And, you know, something that's kind of mediocre, it's very hard to make that. It's not going to become soulmate. So, you know, maybe you're just knowing that you felt some soulmate connections, they didn't work, so now let me just see something else. But within a week or two, a month, 2 months, you kind of know that this isn't really a connection, the kind that's you want if you want a soulmate connection.
Mm-hmm.
So don't waste too much time with those. And unfortunately, you know, you can break people's heart if you keep dating them too long. If they're nice people, you don't want to hurt them. And sometimes we just stay too long with these people so we don't hurt them. Because,
mm-hmm.
you know, they're nice. But
mm-hmm.
that doesn't make it the one. And again, we have more than one soulmate. Once you've had a soulmate, by the way, and do you believe you've had a soulmate?
Yeah, I do.
It's hard to settle for something that's not soulmate.
But to me, soulmate not necessarily is a passionate relationship. It's often a huge lesson that you need to learn.
Right, and it gets what I mean. And sometimes you can't,
yeah.
and also you can't bypass them. You know, got to meet them. I mean, even when people want me to do a reading and, you know, they want to know if this is the one, this and that, and I go, look, I can't tell you that. You need to, so every soulmate's brought and we have lessons to learn. So you have to see what's here. You know, maybe he's not the forever one, but you have to learn the lessons in it being brought and taken away. So soulmates have lessons to teach. But what lesson do you want to learn now through love? Maybe you're giving the universe mixed messages. Do you want someone that you love heart, soul, mind, and body, you have commitment, you know, he's there for you, you enjoy being with him, maybe you live with him or marry him. I mean, what is it that you want from a soulmate now?
What you've said, except I want someone who's going to push me, like encourage me to be the best that I can be.
That's what soulmates
someone,
do. They do.
Yeah,
soulmates bring out the
just,
best in us.
That's what I want. Someone
right.
to bring
and,
out the best in me.
And that's great. And, you know, maybe you need to write down what your ideal soulmate would be like and be pretty specific
that.
About it.
Yeah.
And write down what your goals in having a soulmate are so the universe knows what you want and expect from this. And
mm-hmm.
true love is really pretty easy. Soulmate love, when it's two healed people, it's not drama and trauma. It's not every day we're close, now we're not close. It consistently you're close and you get closer. I think that's what's wrong with love in America. It's people get close and then they seem to pull away. They're afraid and then all of a sudden it's not close anymore and they're watering it down. That's what's hurting people. It's not natural. Love is close and closer. And, you know, I think that's why people are getting afraid. I mean, it's happened to a lot of people that, you know, they don't know what happened. How were we close and now we're not even communicating? So, you know, you be clear in your goals. You might want to look outside of online for meeting people.
Two times I've done that, I met the two worst psychopaths I've ever met before in my life.
Well, where did you meet them? Where did you meet them? In a bar?
Yeah, both in a bar.
I'm not talking about meeting people in a bar. I'm talking about maybe you go sign up for a class and you meet a new girlfriend and it's her friends and maybe she has some friends. It's going to meetups. You know, there are meetups. Maybe it's a healthy activity where they're doing like a walk for cancer or they're doing kayaking or something healthy where you're going to meet people that are into healthy things. You know,
mm-hmm.
going to meetups are good places to meet people. Bars, you know, a lot of people in bars are psychopaths.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't advise you to meet a man in a bar. That's not the best way to meet a person. I mean, it can happen, but it's not necessarily the best. Maybe at a party, you know, a friend having a party. And this way you would know some of the other people know this man. So, you know, maybe you need to figure out you're not looking in the right places for love. And
that's possible.
So again, just having fun. You know, if you sign up for a dance class that you enjoy or yoga class, or you're doing something healthy and loving and for yourself, you're being a lover to yourself, and there you could just meet a girlfriend, even a new soulmate friend, expand your soulmate friends, and he may be part of that soul group. So there is a step in meeting people. So, you know, try that. Online is, you know, oftentimes just this, the story you're saying is really pretty common on online dating. And, you know, the men, you know, they're like shopping. They think it's speed dating, the first date. They got to ask you all kinds of questions. There's no courting or romance left anymore. Like, didn't people used to court people or just, you know, what happened to that? So asking blunt questions on a first date is like, what? You know, a first date is supposed to be memorable fun. You know, it's fun. We're just having fun here, and let's see if we can have fun together. Then we can figure out the rest of it. But everybody wants to, like, okay, let's see if in this date, if you're going to be the one or I'm just going to, like, is this, it's like you're grilling. It's like you feel like you're going on a job interview and not a date.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So when did love become an interview? So it's a little bit crazy, and that's what online dating encourages, by the way, this kind of interviewing kind of thing. And, you know, nothing kind of naturally emerges as you get to see a person and know a person. And, you know, just, I see a soulmate coming. It's what you want. And just don't be afraid to be yourself a little bit and be a little more, you know, assertive as to what you want, and get rid of the people that's not going anywhere. And, you know, oftentimes they're seeing 10 other people too.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's,
you know what I mean? It's like they have seen 10 people, you're seeing 10 people. When you're dating 10 people, you're dating no one, by the way. It's what it starts to feel like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it feels very, you know, mechanical. So that's why I think you got the devil card on it, because, you know, your spirit guides are trying to tell you maybe this is not what's right. This is not good. This is maybe not the right way to be finding your soulmate. And not that you can't find one online. It's possible. But you got to have a really discerning eye. And you sort of got to, like, eliminate pretty quickly.
I'll call you back when I find one.
Call in again. Call in and see if any of this gets through to you. And,
okay.
I mean, and have fun. I'm just saying have fun with it. But, you know, pretty much know that the men, oftentimes they're just finding internet dating as a way to have sex with 20 women at once. So, I mean, that's a good recipe for venereal disease. So, you know, think about seriously before you're sleeping with a man, how many people is he sleeping with? You know, women should ask that question before they sleep with men, not after. And, you know, just be a little more open and a little bit more, you know, assertive. I see good things for you, though. I'm not worried about you.
All right. Thanks, Cindy.
Thanks for sharing your story with us. We love that story. Bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Okay, Nicole. I kind of see that this theme is sort of like nobody's asking questions of each other, or that people are just asking the wrong questions?
Yeah, kind of, sort of.
Did you feel that way when you were out in the dating world before, Lisa, that people would just overstep boundaries or ask you things they shouldn't be asking you? And
you know what? It's not even that people were overstep boundaries. It was just like a blanket of bullshit, you know, that I didn't like. You know, it was, you know, you could tell how fake it was. And I tell, you know, the girls in my office all the time, you know, like who engage in like online dating and stuff like that. You know, I'm like, guys, like, I don't know why you're on, you know, all of these damn sites. I was just like, it's a waste of time. I said, all it's going to teach you is, I mean, I guess in a way it's good because it'll teach you what you don't want. I was like, but, you know, people that, you know, want a real relationship are going to be in the real world. They're not going to be in a virtual world. You know, Facebook is not social, regardless of the title of social media. You know, it's not that you don't have Facebook friends in lieu of real friends that you actually sit and interact with. You know, stop living through technology. Stop living through the phone. You know, if you want somebody real to hold you and to be there with you and to build a life with you, you have to be living. And living through the computer is not that.
Right. And that's important. And again, you know, it seems to be the easiest way for people to meet because they're sitting in their comfort of their home and then they're looking at the computer. But, I mean, and people sometimes say, well, I'm shy. I can't get out, you know, out there and this and that. I'm like, just learn to communicate. Learn to talk. Learn to, you know, you can meet someone sitting on the train next to you. You can meet somebody on, you know, on just on the shopping line, the food store. I mean, it's possible to just meet someone going about your life, but you're going to have to get, like you said, away from the phone. You know, there are people that have met online. It can happen. But, you know, most people online are really not looking for serious relationships. And a lot of men have just found this is a great way where they can just meet women, you know, 5 towns away so that they never have to bang into them again after they screw up here. So, you know, it's a little bit scary that people can't meet face-to-face. Don't you find that a little bit scary?
Mm-hmm. Very.
I mean, it's a world. Well, I think it even started, like, when Shauna was little, and, you know, she's 35, my daughter, and people had to have play dates. You had to have a play date, arrange a play date.
Yeah.
It started with
a play date
bullshit. Do you know what I mean? Instead of, when we were kids, we ran on the street, and it was every day we played with. We knocked on a door. And,
yeah.
You know, we found a friend. My mother didn't arrange me to have friends to play with. First of all, she could care less what I was doing.
We're just going to go and we're going to play.
We're going to find somebody to play with.
Whoever was around.
Right.
When
we found somebody to play with.
On your block, that was it.
And if there was somebody not in this block, I went one block over until I found somebody. We went out in the world and arranged to have meet people. And, you know, I love it.
We taught social skills back then.
Exactly.
We're taught social skills now.
And, you know, when people say, you know, I can't find anybody, there's millions of people on Long Island. You can't find anybody. You're not living in a place where there's a town with 20 people. There's millions of people on Long Island.
That is funny.
So,
I could not agree more.
And there's so many activities that are free, always listed in different places. Look online in a local place and go. Go to a meetup. There's so many times when events are planned, nobody shows up. Well, maybe you could have met somebody at those events. You know, go out there. Like, go out to, I mean, not speed dating, not, you know, the stupid, you know, singles events, which everybody's all uptight at those. You know, go to someplace where it's not necessarily, you know,
everybody's,
meet
at those events, everybody's so uptight about pretending that they don't want to be there when they really do.
Right, and everybody's so uptight. Do they look good? Or the men are, you know, 3 men and the women are all, like, jealous of each other rather than a sisterhood. We've got 3 men and there's 300 women. We got to, like, fight for the 3 men. I mean, it's stupid. So, again, go to places where women can meet other women friends and empower each other, and then you have a new person to go out with somewhere. And, you know, just make some friends. You know, just get out there because that's the best way to meet a new man is to make some new friends, or a new woman, make some new friends, don't you think? You want to make friends.
Well, yes, absolutely. Just go, just involve yourself in circles that you normally wouldn't involve yourself in. Meet new people. Keep engaging with people, not computerized people that put their best foot forward. It's just but real people in the real world.
Exactly. Well, anyway, we're at the end of our show, and thanks, everyone, for calling in. And I think today we did a show about meeting people, and I think that was a good show because we have a lot of single listeners. So we always wish them love. Don't we wish everybody love?
I want everybody to be in love. People that are single, people that are married, everybody should be in love.
Right, and that's our message. And I look forward to speaking next week, and we're almost going to be to the 4th of July weekend. Can you believe that?
I know.
Well, everybody enjoy the
night. I know where
the
time goes.
I don't know. It goes fast. Well, thank you so much, Nicole, and we'll speak next week.
Cindy, thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.